Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Usually each week when we do Readin', Writin', and Reason and our podcast, we talk about all things in manner of education, parenting, the money spent. But this week, given the events of last Saturday, the attempted assassination of President Trump, we had on this week, because of all the conspiracies building up and all the information that's ongoing that we still haven't clarified or know, great guests that were actually there in some cases and others, national experts on this whole thing. So we thought this week we would replay a lot of that. So you'll hear Sean Parnell. You may remember him. Captain Parnell was there right near President Trump. He's heading up the mail-in balloting in Pennsylvania. Stephen Sun is the former head of the Capitol Police, think January 6th, and he is an expert with daily hundreds of encounters with Secret Service, FBI, and the like. And then, of course, Colonel Alan West, military extraordinaire, about what happened there. We'll play all of those for you during this next hour. Wanted to alert you to something, though. We have, and could there be anybody more in the center ring than Don Trump Jr.? Donald Trump Jr., the event that we have with him for Politics and Pints will be on July 30th at the Scottish Rite, which is right over the bridge in Collingswood. Beautiful facility. To get your tickets, all that you have to do is go to 1210WPHT.com. Now, you can take advantage of one tier of tickets where there's a meet and greet with Don Trump Jr. backstage with me and Dan and everybody else will be there. Another tier, you get your reserve seat and you get the coffee table book that's unbelievable what's in there. Letters to Trump, famous, very famous people, the back and forth between Trump and Hillary Clinton, which was very friendly. Oprah said she was weepy thinking about Trump and Oprah on a ticket, a national ticket. This is before Trump announced. The point is, they used to love Trump until he announced and started running and won the presidency. It's a fast. These are some of the Princess Di, some of the most famous people ever. You'll get in that book letters to Trump. And this is part of the whole thing that night. This is a big, big ticket item. You get that, your seat, and a fabulous night. You can check all that out by going to 1210WPHT.com. Love to see you that night for politics and pints. And I'm going to ask Don Trump Jr. all the things that you want asked inside what's happened during the convention. Don Trump not knowing whether his father was alive for an hour and a half, apparently, after the shooting. His daughter making the debut. You'll want to be there. It's our kind of place. We will bring up all the things that emotionally bond us here on Talk Radio 1210. Big night. Get your tickets. Go to 1210WPHT.com. Bring the gang. If you haven't been before, this is a night you do not want to miss. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk with Sean Parnell, former combat veteran extraordinaire, who was right there with President Trump in Butler. His thoughts about the shooting, what happened, and what he wants done coming up this week when the Secret Service will have to testify. We hope it's on Monday and break things down. That's next here with Dom Giordano on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano with you for Reading, Writing, and Reason. This week, given the events of last Saturday, the attempted assassination of President Trump, we had on this week, we because of all the conspiracies building up and all the information that's ongoing that we still haven't clarified or know. Great guest. Sean Parnell is a friend to the show. He was going to run for office. President Trump is he's often a surrogate for him, a combat veteran. He was in Butler with his wife and President Trump. He's right behind him on the stage. We got him on to talk about what that experience was like and what he once done with the Secret Service. Here's what Sean Parnell told me from that experience. You are a combat veteran. You have been around stuff like that. What were you thinking when the initial shots went off there on Saturday?
Well, I was right there. I mean, they were the bullets cracked right over my head. I could hear them crack over my head and go supersonic, and then heard the muzzle, like the actual gunfire itself. And so instantly I knew it was sniper fire. And all I remember was hearing about six shots. And then I remember, I watched this whole thing. And it's just like, I've been recapping it in my mind for, you know, since that day. But I watched Trump grab his ear. A second later, the Secret Service was on him. And then I heard, you know, a thump, thump of a higher caliber rifle of the counter sniper teams engaging the shooter. And I think at the exact moment that the counter sniper team engaged, the would-be assassin pulled the trigger on his rifle. And as the counter sniper bullets impacted the shooter, he capped off a couple of other rounds, which went into the crowd. All this happened simultaneously, but just the moment it happened, I just screamed to everybody in the crowd, get down, there's a sniper, everybody get down, get down, get down. And I had my wife, who's sitting just to my left, in the prone. And from there, it was just about trying to ascertain where the shooter was coming from. And Dom, it took me 2 seconds in the chaos of the moment. And by the way, I had my wife on one side of me and 95-year-old Mrs. Fogel, whose son has been languishing in a Russian prison for 3 years, completely ignored by the Biden administration, to my left. And I'm like, okay, building, right? The building or the water tower? That's where the sniper mm-hmm. is. And the reason why that's really important, Dom, is because, well, you got to be able to move people. And if you don't know where the shooter is, you don't know how, well, one, you don't know if you can move people. And two, you don't know how to best use cover and concealment to get people out of there. And so it was just, it was chaos. And shortly after that, we learned that two people that were sitting just behind my wife and I had been shot, one in the abdomen and one in the head. And we just started evacuating casualties after that. And probably I was there with J.D. Longo and Rico Elmore probably until like 8:30. Just evacuating some of the casualties because there were gunshot injuries, Dom, but then there were also people who were suffering from heat injuries and like panic attacks, and it's a very traumatizing event for people. And what no one has really talked about is like there were wheelchair bound people there too that weren't left behind, but you know, you have 30,000 people going for one exit. You got people, elderly folks that are in wheelchairs being pushed by other elderly folks, and they were just sitting there.
Wow.
And so we wrangled up a couple of my veteran buddies who were there with me, got them cover and concealment, and we just rolled them out one by one, Tom, just wow. trying to save as many people as we could.
Well, that's where I want to be. We had Alan West on the day and Sean Parnell. That's where I want to be surrounded by when something like that happens. So after you've had a chance now, and actually, I mean, it's you and your wife there at risk with bullets flying. You know, the Secret Service situation here is one of the most irresponsible, it seems to be, that I've ever seen. And we've had people on, you probably feel that, how this guy could get that close. So what are you hearing now, and what do you want done?
It was, let me just tell you, I have been in hundreds of firefights in my life, hundreds, more times than I can count. I have never, and I've been in some pretty terrible situations with some pretty bad things happening. I have never in all of my life, in 16 months of straight combat in Afghanistan, ever seen tactical negligence displayed on a scale like that, ever. That building was 130 meter shot. Now, people are saying this guy is a terrible shot. Oh, well, yeah, it's a layup shot. But like the only reason that Trump survived, And it's so important for your listeners to understand this. The only reason that he survived that shot, because let's keep remind people, he got hit. He was hit in the ear. The only reason he survived is because he turned his head at the last moment. And Dom, he went off script. He's like, oh, I'm going to go off the teleprompter. I hate these things. They're boring. Do you mind if I do that? Let's get my favorite immigration graphic up there.
Right. Of all things.
Yes. So it's unbelievable to me that Trump's, you know, going off of script and his tendency to do that is ultimately what saved his life, because he turned his head at the exact, at just the exact moment that the first bullet was fired, and that saved his life. Never seen anything like that. But the Secret Service, how you don't have that building on lockdown is beyond me. Even if you don't have the people or the manpower, which, by the way, they did. But even if they didn't, how do you not obscure the line of sight? You had a piece of construction equipment. Just line up five or six of them. Or hang the big damn American flag right there. Excuse my language, but it's just
incomprehensible. Hey, Sean, you know what? We've heard thousands of people. It takes a guy like that is a great point. You improvise, and you make it near impossible to do anything like that.
Yes.
That's a great point,
I mean, it's like these campaigns, I've run two of them. You got more banners than you know what to do with. Hang up a couple banners, you know? It's just like, and what really infuriates me, because I get very protective. These are the people of Pennsylvania. This is my home state. I'm a fifth generation Pennsylvanian. Those are my people in Western Pennsylvania. The people who are wounded behind me, I met those people on the 2020 campaign. I shook their hands. You know, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is the biggest city where everybody knows your name, you know, and the United States Secret Service trying to blame local law enforcement. Don, let me ask you this. When have you ever known of the feds in any situation ever that would relinquish tactical control of a situation to a local unit? Not the FBI, the investigation, nothing. It never, ever happened.
Even alone
when you're protecting a president.
Yeah, even in films, people like Tommy Lee Jones come in and all, you know, and if the feds even back him away, sort of, you know what I mean?
Exactly, right.
Because they are the feds, and they have resources, they do whatever the heck they want. Every film that you see, it's that case. Well, now, you're not in the camp, Sean. I've been tamping it down. I see them, I can see it from the leadership on down, how incompetent they are. But then this leads people to start talking conspiracy.
Yeah, well, here's what I'll say about that. And I am, just so your listeners know, I'm putting my military commander hat on, like very much like Congressman Corey Mills.
Right.
If you're going to conduct a real investigation here, everything has to be on the table. Even things that you might think that are conspiratorial, right? I'm not saying that this was intentional, okay? But I'm saying that possibility has to be on the table, because if it's not on the table and we're not asking questions about it honestly, then how do you rule it out if you're not even allowed to question it? So I'm just saying, I don't think anything like that happened, but I think it's certainly, when you look at the totality of things, with all the things that, you know, the Biden administration and certainly our intelligence communities. And like, if you don't believe me, listen to what Chuck Schumer said. If you go after the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you. Like, what do you think he meant by that? So, I mean, clearly, look at the rhetoric, how it was for 10 years. It was like, Trump is a traitor. He's a Russian asset. They created these hoaxes to fabricate intelligence that he was a Russian asset. And now the narrative is nonstop. Trump's a dictator. Trump's a dictator. Trump is Hitler. You turn on Morning Joe, MSNBC with Joe and Mika, and they're up every day. 275 years of the American experiment gone if Trump is elected. Like, how do you think some 20-year-old twisted, you know, would-be assassin is going to process stuff like that?
Yeah.
And that rhetoric. And so there's a difference between, it's just like, I'm not going to both sides of the issue. Like, the Democrats and their allies and the media had a role to play in this. And it just infuriates me, as you could probably tell.
Well, no, you're exactly right. Look, there's a difference between hardball, going in, if even stuff maybe you've been through campaigns you shouldn't say, and calling someone Hitler And not meaning it rhetorically, saying that's what's going to happen to countries. That's the big difference that has to be established. Dan had a question for you, Sean. Go right ahead.
Yeah,
Dan.
And Sean, feel free not to answer this question if you don't know. But there's been a lot of in conspiracy forums and such, a lot of retweets of witnesses saying that they heard shots from the water tower. And you being a combat veteran and being in these kind of situations, I'd assume that when you hear a shot and you feel it, you know, buzz over your head, you kind of have the instinct that you're able to look at where that came from. There was rumors that the trajectory of the bullet looked like it came from the water, or one of the bullets came from the water tower. Just wondering if you're able to dispel that, because as a combat vet, knowing directional where bullets come from, did all the bullets come from that building that the shooter is posted up on?
Listen, I immediately was operating under the assumption that there were two shooters. Not because I had confirmation that there was two shooters indefinitely in the moment. But I will say, I did identify a shooter on what I thought was 100% the building, but also identified the water tower as key terrain and the possibility that there might be somebody up there. And I'll tell you why. To the right of President Trump, as he was speaking, as you're looking at him on television speaking, I was to his left, but to the right of President Trump, there was a piece of construction equipment there and a hydraulic line on that piece of equipment severed and had all this smoke coming up from it. And it gave the impression that there might be a second shooter. And if you look at the actual tactics, techniques, and procedures of attacks like this, typically, you know, you engage, so a would-be assassin would engage, 30-minute break, let people get complacent, start moving to the exits. You have all people bunched together, one exit, bunch of cars going to the same location, and then you re-engage after law enforcement has already moved out on whatever their secondary mission. That was how I was operating the whole time. And that was my driving force of what I was telling people as I was trying to help evacuate people. Was like, listen, we don't know how many shooters there are. There could still be somebody out there. And behind President Trump, there were woods. And so what I kept trying to communicate to people is that if there was, and by the way, I am not saying that there was. I'm just saying in the moment, I'm like, if there was, there's no possible way that the SWAT teams and police could have cleared those wood lines, which ran parallel to where everyone was parking. So I was like, move with a sense of purpose, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think so. Sean, thank God you were there. And again, I did not know this. We want to promote, though, Battleground with Sean Parnell, now on Rumble.
Oh, yeah. I got a live show every Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. on Rumble. It's been pretty fun.
Well, we'll check in on that. Sean, thank you, and great work on the mail-in balloting, too. That's we want to get an update after the convention on that.
Thanks, my friend.
All right, as I said, that's pretty compelling stuff with Sean Parnell here on Reading, Writing, and Reason. Coming up, Stephen Sun has become a friend of the show. He wrote a book about his experience as the head of the Capitol Police dealing with Nancy Pelosi, the FBI, Secret Service, etc. A lot of knowledge. We got him on to break down who's responsible in these things. His book is all about January 6th. He's next on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Hey, welcome in, everyone, to Reading, Writing, and Reason. Special show this week. Stephen Sun, former head of the Capitol Police, has joined us on that, but he also joined us this week because of the shooting that happened in Butler of President Trump. Here's what Stephen Sun told me. Stephen, welcome back, Chief. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me on again.
So take us fly on the wall. You're with friends that were in various positions. You don't have to name, et cetera. And you guys having lunch and processing a little bit of this failure that we saw. And maybe you can tell us first, I guess, what you thought on Saturday when you saw this unfold and you got more details. What were you looking at?
Well, I'll tell you, and let me just give you a little bit of background for your listeners. When as your introduction had said, we work with Secret Service on a daily basis. I've been working with Secret Service since 1999. I started doing my first details, actually even earlier than that, in 1991. As a police officer, I did my first detail. Jimmy Carter was in town building buildings in the District of Columbia for Habitat for Humanity, and I started working with him at that point. So many decades of experience, but I've done hundreds of presidential details. When you watched it, one, just the fact that, you know, what I was witnessing was, you know, pure, almost divine intervention when you look at how the president turned his head just right at the right time and was, you know, grazed by what would have been an absolute lethal shot. It's absolutely stunned me. The president took absolutely great steps, immediately dropped down, which is a secure position for him. And the agents quickly jumped on him to get control of it, of the situation. But you start looking at that. And as soon as anytime a protectee gets injured or specifically shot at, there's an issue that occurred, because Secret Service, the way they build out a site detail, it takes a long time. It takes weeks to build that out. They have a very regimented procedure. They build it out to a certain level where they have everybody within that area screened. And then beyond that, they have spotters. They do regular checks to make sure no one's out there even farther, because you're dealing with handgun distance than sniper distance. So you can go out several hundred yards. You know, what surprised me is the quick analysis, and you started hearing the rooftop that the shot came from. It's the closest rooftop to the event, yeah, besides the roof right behind it with the U.S. Secret Service counter snipers on it that actually neutralize a threat. So, you know, I quickly was watching that and thinking, yeah, there's just something that's just not right here. Somewhere somebody made a mistake, because that rooftop should have been being watched.
Well, how, though, in your experience, that vast experience, I mean, you did it day to day. I've only been at these events doing various things, Stephen, and it seems to me almost impossible that you would overlook this. And the excuse of the head of the Secret Service, well, it was a slope roof. We couldn't have people up there. That's because of injury factor. In your experience, does that seem anywhere? I mean, isn't that the job of the Secret Service? They put themselves at risk to some degree all the time.
Oh, you put yourself at risk. And if you're concerned, and they've done this in the past, they'll put on harnesses, you know,
yes,
and rope themselves up to up to areas. I mean, they're tactical officers. That's absolutely ridiculous. I want to try and keep this as clean a show as I can. That is ridiculous. And there's two reasons why I say that. One, if you do deal with a position that creates such a concern, but you still have to keep eyes on it, I've heard people talk about flying a drone. Why don't you just look around the fairgrounds, grab one of those, you know, United rental lift trucks, and put a team up on a lift truck next to it watching the roof, if that's the case. But the number one reason why I don't think that's the case is look at the roof. The Secret Service counter snipers that neutralize the threat are on. It has more of a slope,
yes,
than the
yeah,
NAR International. So, no, that absolutely does not hold water. And
today's program has been pre-recorded.
Hey, welcome in, everyone, to Reading, Writing, and Reason. Special show this week. Stephen Sun, former head of the Capitol Police, has joined us on that, but he also joined us this week because of the shooting that happened in Butler of President Trump. Here's what Stephen Sun told me. Stephen, welcome back, Chief. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me on again.
So take us fly on the wall. You're with friends that were in various positions. You don't have to name, et cetera. And you guys having lunch and processing a little bit of this failure that we saw. And maybe you can tell us first, I guess, what you thought on Saturday when you saw this unfold and you got more details. What were you looking at?
Well, I'll tell you, and let me just give you a little bit of background for your listeners. When as your introduction had said, we worked with Secret Service on a daily basis. I've been working with Secret Service since 1999. Started doing my first details. Actually, even earlier than that, in 1991, as a police officer, I did my first detail. Jimmy Carter was in town building buildings in the metro, in the District of Columbia, for Habitat for Humanity, and I started working with him at that point. So many decades of experience, but I've done hundreds of presidential details. When you watched it, just the fact that, you know, what I was witnessing was, you know, pure, almost divine intervention when you look at how the president turned his head just right at the right time and was, you know, grazed by what would have been an absolute lethal shot. It's absolutely stunned me. The president took absolutely great steps, immediately dropped down, which is a secure position for him, and the agents quickly jumped on him to get control of it, of the situation. But you start looking at that, and as soon as anytime a protectee gets injured or specifically shot at, there's an issue that occurred. Because Secret Service, the way they build out a site detail, it takes a long time, it takes weeks to build that out. They have a very regimented procedure. They build it out to a certain level where they have everybody within that area screened. And then beyond that, they have spotters. They do regular checks to make sure no one's out there even farther, because you're dealing with handgun distance than sniper distance. So you can go out several hundred yards. You know, what surprised me is the quick analysis, and you started hearing the rooftop that the shot came from. It's the closest rooftop to the event, yeah. Besides the roof right behind it with the U.S. Secret Service counter snipers on it that actually neutralize the threat. So, you know, I quickly was watching that and thinking, yeah, there's just something that's just not right here. Somewhere somebody made a mistake, because that rooftop should have been being watched.
Well, how, though, in your experience, that vast experience, I mean, you did it day to day. I've only been at these events doing various things, Stephen, and it seems to me almost impossible that you would overlook this. And the excuse of the head of the Secret Service, well, it was a slope roof. We couldn't have people up there. That's because of injury factor. In your experience, does that seem anywhere? I mean, isn't that the job of the Secret Service? They put themselves at risk to some degree all the time.
Oh, you put yourself at risk. And if you're concerned, and they've done this in the past, they'll put on harnesses, you know,
yes.
and rope themselves up to up to areas. I mean, they're tactical officers. That's absolutely ridiculous. I want to try and keep this as clean a show as I can. That is ridiculous. And there's two reasons why I say that. One, if you do deal with a position that creates such a concern, but you still have to keep eyes on it, I've heard people talk about flying a drone. Why don't you just look around the fairgrounds, grab one of those, you know, United rental lift trucks, and put a team up on a lift truck next to it watching the roof, if that's the case. But the number one reason why I don't think that's the case is look at the roof. The Secret Service counter snipers that neutralize the threat are on. It has more of a slope
yes.
than the NCAR International. So, no, that absolutely does not hold water. And the thing is, when they go and they do a site detail and they do an analysis of the site, you know, they'll come out and they'll come up with areas of responsibility. So you're going to have an agent that has an area of responsibility, even though it's maybe outside the perimeter, that's supposed to be in charge of making sure all the state and locals, because Secret Service can't do it all on their own. And this is one of the things that I think is really sad, that them blaming it on the state and locals for not covering it. It's a Secret Service site. It's a Secret Service detail. It's ultimately their responsibility. But they should have had a special agent out there checking the posts, making sure all the posts are being covered. And if that post wasn't being covered, then what are they going to do to mitigate that threat? Are they going to cover it, you know, block it with something? But
stop right there. You and Sean Parnell, who's been in combat, you may know of him, you know, fabulous warrior, ran for office and all that. He was there and shot at. He said the same thing, Stephen. What you do is you improvise and you block line of sight there, that it's almost impossible to be able to fire from there.
Yeah, block line of sight, or just put somebody in an elevated position that they can watch the roof. That's just ridiculous, and it's just sad that the director is saying it's state and locals' responsibility. And the fact that they're inside the building at the time, it's just a terrible mistake.
Now you've seen massive things. You know, when you've been on talking about January 6th, it just seems almost impossible when your daily mission is to protect the life. Here's something I wanted to ask you. They may have been stretched. The First Lady was over in Pittsburgh. They have that commitment. They're at the convention. We get it. But you've had to make decisions like this. By the book, Trump is not in office. He's only a nominee in their lines. The First Lady is in office, so to speak. But Trump is the much bigger threat risk based upon what we know and what we intuit, that he's getting this all the time versus the First Lady. Don't you take that into account if you need more resources?
Absolutely. Your detail should be threat-based.
Yes.
It will have a standard detail package for former presidents, former vice presidents, things like that. But this detail should be threat-based. I know they're now coming out talking about this Iranian threat. I think that threat's been around for a couple of years, if you go back and do a little research into it. So that's not something that's new. But it definitely should have been threat-based. But, you know, you bring up a good point, in that you're actually the first person that I've heard that mentioned being stretched thin, especially with the RNC taking place. They would have had some advances out there. But that's where you go and you start relying on who are some of your other, you know, one, first, your federal partners, HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. you know, bringing some of them, and I think some of those were on the detail. And then you're going to turn to your state and locals. You know, they may not be people that do protection every day, but they're at least going to know how to listen to your directions that, hey, this is an area. We don't want to make sure nobody with a gun gets up on that roof, gets in here. They're going to understand the mission. So that's why when you start getting thin, you know, when you're stretched thin and you're relying on state and locals, you know, as long as you make sure they're in post and doing their job, you should be fine.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. So given what you've been through, and given, you know, what happened to you, what do you think should be done here ultimately with the task force going to start on Monday? What would be the outcome you need to see?
When you say the outcome I need to see, and I'll tell you, I've worked, like I said, I've worked closely with the Secret Service, love the men and women of the agency. They love the agency. They're one of the few agencies that have not lost their legacy. They understand where they come from. They just need to find out why they're getting distracted the way they are. So I would say this, and it's interesting. I've had a couple of people asking that question, how do you feel about what's going on? The big difference here is I'd asked for assistance. It's in multiple congressional reports. It's been found out. They actually changed the law that impacted me. I asked twice in advance of January 6th for assistance, 11 times while we're under attack on January 6th, and was denied repeatedly and forced to resign the very next day. I think what needs to be done is, as quick as they can, do a good investigation. You know, perhaps, you know, it's up to her what she wants to do. But, you know, by having her on, actually, to be honest with you, I think they actually have more ability to control her and mandate, you know, that she answers more questions. So there may be one of the reasons she hasn't resigned, and that may be to their benefit. But I think you have the IG now at the Secret Service has indicated they're going to do a full investigation. The Secret Service, the way they do their details, they leave a significant amount of paper trail, everything from their counter snipers surveys mm-hmm. to their post to everybody's responsibility. So they'll be able to go back and look at that very clearly to find out whose area of responsibility that was. I guarantee you it's going to turn out to be somebody's, and somebody didn't make sure it was covered. So I think, you know, they need to look at it as quick as possible. I know the House of Representatives has also indicated they're doing a full investigation. I think she's supposed to be down, even though now I hear that Mayorkas may prevent her from testifying. We'll see. But she's supposed to testify, I think, next Monday.
Wait. Let's, you know, if that happens and they, I don't want to draw you into politics, just for listeners, though, Stephen. I mean, I don't like Republicans waiting on this till next week. We're hearing, you can imagine, you've been through all this more than anybody I can possibly bring on. Parting question for you, we may have asked before, but to refresh, you have to feel vindicated publicly. I mean, we know, based upon your writing and what you've said, exactly what happened here. When that spokesperson for the National Guard talked about it, it's unraveling the blame that was placed on you and others. But why would they not oblige your request?
Why would they not oblige my request for resources?
Yes.
So when you go back and look at it, it all comes down to an optics. When I went to the two sergeant-at-arms requesting the National Guard on January 3rd, and I went twice, I was denied specifically because the concern for optics. And it goes back to the fact that the Speaker of the House did not want to see National Guard troops up on Capitol grounds. And that's all I wanted, unarmed National Guard troops to help maintain the perimeter of the U.S. Capitol alongside my officers.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. So, you know, I think if it comes out that the head of the Secret Service did not ask and say, we need more here, whatever the request is for manpower, that to me is unforgivable. I mean, particularly with this protectee, Stephen, we all know the consequence if the worst had happened with President Trump or any former president in this situation. You have to say, we need to do more. There's no sin in saying you're under-resourced. The sin is, though, if you don't say it.
Right. Now, I think you'll find, I'd be very surprised if over time there's not some people that come out and begin to support the fact that there's a number of people that have said they were asking for additional resources. And I get the impression that there's going to be some validity to that.
Chief, thank you very much. As always, courage under fire, under siege, outnumbered 58-1 on January 6th. Thanks for your service. And in this role, thanks for what you provide. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dom. Take care.
Coming up here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, our weekly foray, usually into matters educational, but this week special because of what the events of the day are. Our buddy, Colonel Alan West, is next to round out Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano with you for Reading, Writing, and Reason. Usually, each week when we do Reading, Writing, and Reason and our podcast, we talk about all things and manner of education, parenting, the money spent. But this week, given the events of last Saturday, the attempted assassination of President Trump, Colonel Alan B. West got him on to talk about what happened last Saturday as a military commander, what he thinks should happen next. Here's what Colonel West told me. Colonel, watching this with the, you know, I see it as rank incompetency, but I'm under fire here. People immediately think of conspiracies, which I think are really hard to do. Take us up and down, somebody who's actually commanded under fire in Iraq versus, let's face it, the Secret Service is under pressure, but they're ordinarily not, they're not being fired at when they're making decisions. They ought to be able to do this.
Well, I would tell you, you know, listening to your previous segment, if there's going to be a decision made on Mrs. Cheadle's future, I don't think waiting a month is going to help. That's too close to the election. If you're going to do that, it has to be done this week or next week, without a doubt. So hopefully people can have forgotten by the time you get close to the election. Look, you know, one of the things that we always talk about in the military is to gain and maintain the high ground, which means that you never allow anyone to have a elevated vantage point over you when you're doing an operation. So if you take that and apply it to what we saw happen there in Pennsylvania and Butler last Saturday, why was there a rooftop that was left uncovered? And what do I mean by uncovered was that either you have someone on that elevated vantage point, which was less than 150 yards, direct line of sight to a former president and a presidential candidate, or you make sure that the counter snipers that you have up there in doing their range card and sector evaluation, they have that covered with their fire. And that means they know the exact range to it. They've conducted their windage assessments. And if there is someone that gets on that elevated high ground, you immediately make sure or you confirm that this person is not a friendly, then you engage. You don't wait until after they pop off 6 to 7 rounds. And this excuse from the Secret Service Director Cheadle that, you know, the roof was sloped and it was too dangerous for someone to be up on it, it wasn't too dangerous for that 20-year-old.
Yeah, and apparently they were on another roof that looks to be a similar configuration. Now, you've also served in Congress, and I get the tendency, we all have it, to think that, you know, there's no way they get to the bottom of this. I think a task force on this, but I would do it now. And I realize they think the message is celebration. But isn't this as good of a message to Americans that Johnson and the others, even in the middle of the convention, are not letting that distract them? They're acting on something where Trump and Vance are going to be in front of the public on Saturday again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You have to get to the bottom of this. And, you know, when you think about Mississippi Congressman Benny Thompson, who wanted to have legislation stripping President Trump of his Secret Service protection, this is absolutely absurd. So we need to make sure that going forward, we don't have another lapse in this in security. And I've been reading some of the back channel reports. We've had some incidents happen up there at the RNC convention that aren't making the mainstream reports. Such as a kid with an AK-47 pistol that was caught, and he did not have a concealed carry license, such as Congressman Van Dorn, I think, of Wisconsin, who was attacked by a Code Pink individual. So we continue to see these acts of violence or potential acts of violence that are happening. So, yes, we need to talk about these processes and procedures to make sure that there's not another lapse. But this, you know, without a doubt, it was incompetence. Now, to try to say that there was an inside job or anything like that, I mean, you got to get more facts and details. And hopefully we don't go down that rabbit hole. But without a doubt, someone has to be held accountable because you had a former president that was millimeters away from losing his life.
How does that happen, though, on this large of a level? It seems to me, and look, and I'm the last one to want to have more government spending,
But I think in addition to their incompetency, they're not like you. They're not somebody who talks about a mission. And it sort of filters down. You know, we saw 5'4" women up there trying to protect the 6'2" man when they're supposed to be human shields. It's they're stretched thin. They're covering all these former presidents, their kids, the convention, et cetera. And if that's the case and they need more resources, more people of high caliber to train them, then we ought to be doing it. That's money well spent. That's money you got to spend if that's part of it.
Yeah, and it would be money well spent. And first and foremost, you have to look at the focus of this current Secret Service director who came back and said she wanted to increase more females. And she's more about DEI than really about having the qualified people. And you're correct. If you are 6'2", 6'3", the people that should be guarding you should be 6'4", 6'5", not 5'4". That's one thing. And if you want to talk about the appropriate spending of resources, we should not be giving illegal immigrants free health care and debit cards and all of these other things. It should be going to the basic core competencies and missions of the federal government, the executive branch, and a branch like the Secret Service. So, yeah, I think that we need to go back and look at what are the right duties and responsibilities. Let's spend less on the Department of Education up there and spend more on the right and proper roles. U.S. Marshals, I mean, that's another, you know, constitutional mandate. I mean, that is a historical government law enforcement agency. Maybe we need to get more U.S. Marshals out there. But the Secret Service is a very old organization. I think U.S. Grant, President Grant was the one that established them. So they should be a preeminent line, not hiring 80,000 new IRS agents.
Yeah, exactly right. The other thing I wanted to talk with you about, this let's turn down the rhetoric and all this. You're someone who's been in the public eye and made comments and you get pushback. Biden said something about a bullseye on Trump. I don't see that as inflammatory and out of line. The out of line thing is that causes this is saying that Trump is different than other candidates. He's Hitler or about ready to be Hitler. Then there's only one solution that some crazies could think. Other than that, I wouldn't be going after people on the language if they say, you know, that might backfire. It's a perfectly acceptable word.
Yeah, but see, the thing is the hypocrisy of the left. You go back and remember when Sarah Palin said that we're going to target certain congressional district, and everybody on the left went crazy, so they have to live by their own rules. But when you start to demonize a person and continue to talk about they're a threat to democracy, a threat to the existential existence of the United States of America, or just listen to Van Jones, who immediately referred to J.D. Vance as a dangerous virus. The evening that he was nominated as vice president, or he's an authoritarian. So the left has to try to tone this down. And let's never forget the 2017 shooting of the congressional baseball team by a deranged Bernie Sanders supporter.
And
Steve Scalise is a survivor of that. So I think that Joe Biden needs to understand that he has a responsibility. But I, truthfully, Dom, I don't think the left can correct themselves. I think that this is the only thing they have. They can't talk about the issues. And I just listened to the Twitter post that Kamala Harris said that J.D. Vance is going to further the extreme views of Donald Trump. So they can't help themselves.
Yeah, well, we have Michael Steele, who back in the day I thought was going to be a pretty good head of the RNC, saying he wants to see Trump's ear. He's got to see it up close. Did he lose his ear? Was it just glass? Was it all made up? He wants to see the ear.
That's incredible. Yeah, because what glass could there be? I mean, you can look at the video and you see that no bullet hit the teleprompter. I mean, the bullet grazed President Trump and he went down.
By the way, in a situation like that, now somebody who's actually been in combat, et cetera, that is incredibly close. It's just remarkably close.
Yeah, you cannot imagine. I mean, if you put one finger on your ear and put another finger on your temple, that's how close it was.
Wow.
And for people to understand that, you know, in the military, we train our recruits to be able to shoot out to 300 yards. So this is not an overly hard shot to make. And, of course, you know, those of us that are rifle enthusiasts, most of us can make a 130-yard shot with hard sights, not with a scope, not with a red dot. So this was the hand of God, not just upon Donald Trump, but upon this nation, because we could be having a very different conversation, and this could be a very different RNC convention.
So the average recruit is trained to shoot out 300 yards, not even snipers or marksmen.
Correct. That's your basic training. Yeah. So this is not, you know, something that, you know, we should brush off lightly, which comes back to the fact that how could you allow someone to get within that range and the direct line of sight to a former president?
Update when we have you on? We always have to ask the latest because you're right. We're going to tell people where to go to find you, research, et cetera. DEI and the military. Has it gotten any better? Is it about the same?
No, it has not gotten any better. And, you know, for whatever reason, we're not talking about the recruitment and the retention problems of our military, which is a national security threat. And they're due to the fact that the Biden administration has not focused on recruiting and training and equipping and deploying and fighting and winning and taking care of our families and the military. So we need a new commander in chief, because right now the courage that you saw of President Trump to have been struck by a bullet but still standing strong and asking to get his shoes back on, that's the type of leadership we need to show Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, Iran, and everyone. And that's the type of leadership that will inspire the next generation of great young men and women to join our military.
He was playing golf the next day, too. So where do we find all things Colonel Alan B. West?
Well, you find me on all the social media platforms, but, you know, I'm not on that ticky-tacky, you know, Chinese Communist Party thing. And, of course, please visit us here. You know, I came into the position of the chairman of the Dallas County Republican Party, and Dallas is one of the three counties, Dallas County here in Texas, that George Soros is targeting. So we've got a big fight here in Dallas County.
Absolutely. Colonel, thank you as always. Always makes me feel better knowing you're out there. Thank you.
You got it. Take care, Dom.
All right, that wraps it up, this week's edition of Reading, Writing, and Reason. Thanks to Colonel West for joining us. Thank you for listening. Get your tickets for our big Don Trump Jr. event coming up. Go to 1210WPHT.com. We'll see you next week here on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.